We're glad that you're here this morning. It's a special day for our church, and we're hoping that we see some guests come through throughout the afternoon. And we know we have a lot of folks that are traveling away this week, but we're glad that you're here. We're going to begin a new series called Cornerstone Plus, and I first want to read a passage of Scripture out of Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 19 through 22. We're going to talk about being cultivators, but it says here, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of this household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, where which we get our name, in whom the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And that's going to kind of be our theme verse throughout the next 6 weeks. And to kind of set this up is, I call it Cornerstone Plus. It kind of plays off the name of our church, obviously. But also it's off that scriptures in Ephesians where it says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. When we became believers in Jesus Christ, we became settled and with a full foundation. Everything we need, everything we do, everything we can contemplate builds upon that. Jesus Christ is the hope for all reasons, and as we say at Christmas time, many times, the hope for the season. And upon that, though, we are commissioned to build upon that. If you're going to have a foundation laid for something that you're building, I mean, obviously, once the foundation goes in, if you ever drive down the street and you see somebody put in a new foundation, you know there's something going to be built upon it. And if there's nothing built upon it, you're kind of thinking it's a waste. I have a neighbor down the street some years ago. We saw the foundation go in, and then it sat dormant for the next 2 years. I kept thinking to myself, okay, they got the foundation. What are they going to do with it? And the interesting thing is, too, is that the longer that foundation is not built upon, the more deterioration can happen to it. And so the important part is to build upon the foundation. We're going to have some work done to our house the next couple of months. My father's come to live with us, and so we're going to add on a great room for him. And the first thing they got to do, they got to put the foundation and the footings in. And then everything builds upon that, so I hope you get the concept. So as we go through this series, Cornerstone Plus is Cornerstone, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the foundation, the plus being the things that we add on afterwards. And as a Christian, we are called to grow and to produce and to build upon that foundation. And I'm going to give you a number of different topics in the next few weeks. Today we're talking about being a cultivator, and we're going to get into talking about being a connector. We're going to talk about being a contributor. We're going to talk about being complacent. All the things that have to do with your spiritual and my spiritual growth, with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. I first want to say is that when we begin our lives, there's the old quote, and the old quote is simply, I think it's from a guy named Robert Dunn, who said that no man is an island. And we've all heard that. It was 1624, I believe, that he said that no man is an island, no woman is an island. And the idea is that we all know that whatever we have become, whatever we are doing, whatever success we have, we know other folks have had involvement in it. It's probably easier to say sometimes when you see a turtle on top of a fence post, it probably did not get there by itself. And if you've ever seen that, I've seen it every once in a while, you'd be out somewhere and there's a turtle on top of a fence post, and someone had put it there. Kind of cruel to do it, but it did not get there by itself. Everybody here is a product of your environment. You're a product of those that have been involved in you. In my lifetime, I had a number of people invest into me. I mean, you think back, last week was Teacher Appreciation Week here in Connecticut, and we honored our teachers, and then we had our police officer week. We honor our police officers. These are people that invest in our lives. When I was growing up, there are certain people that invested in my life that actually cultivated me. They didn't know they were doing it. They didn't know they were going to be remembered. I've had some great Sunday school teachers back in the day when we had Sunday school growing up. My father pastored a church. And I can remember one individual that had a great impact on me when I was probably about 11 or 12 years old. And his name was Ralph Garrison. And Ralph Garrison was my Sunday school teacher. And he volunteered his time. The most thing I remember about him, he had one of the hottest cars, Roadrunner cars, all stacked out. And we couldn't wait. The church was over because he'd invite us to go, and they didn't have McDonald's really back then. So we'd go, it was called Daly's, which had Longfoot hot dogs. And he'd drive us in his car. Obviously, back then, no seat belts, nothing like that. We just slid around as he burned rubber out of the church parking lot, which my father, I'm sure, appreciated. And he would teach Sunday school, but after church, he'd always gather a bunch of the boys here and go down to Daly's to get a hot dog and then bring us back and to our parents. And I remember so much about that relationship. I don't remember a single thing he taught. I don't remember a Bible story. I don't remember the lessons. Now, this is not to discourage you that teach in the children's ministry, because you hope they remember the things. Most likely, I did get a wealth of knowledge, because obviously I have that knowledge now. But here's the thing that impressed me. This person invested their time into some boy's life. That's why it's so important to be involved in children's ministry and even nursery, because you may say, well, it's just watching kids and killing time when the service is going on. It is investing in their lives. But I remember that when I needed him, I remember the love he showed for me and my friends. I remember him, you know, wanting to hang with us and stuff. And it made an impact on me. And it made me, even though I was a preacher's kid, and preacher's kids don't necessarily always like going to church, it made me want to show up on Sundays to see Mr. Garrison. And I remember him. I remember a teacher, and I wasn't the best student in school, as some of you probably are aware of. But I did get involved in music and chorus, and I traveled with our school choir and our small ensemble, called the Music Maker Ensemble. And the teacher that I had in that, his name was Dan Greer, a great Christian guy. And Dan Greer, I took two or three different music classes just so I could be with Mr. Greer. But I remember that I would go through struggles, and some of us were kind of the rowdy students in the class. We weren't always the most ones listening. It was, you know, like I told you last week, my father was just impressed I showed up to school sometimes. I actually skipped school one time, and I was hitchhiking down the road, and my father passed me. He did not pick me up. I knew we were going to have a conversation when I got home that night, so I made the best of the day. But I remember Mr. Greer, we would go there, and sometimes, you know, the class would start, and he would notice a lot of us are going through battles, and so he'd gather us up in his minivan he had back then, and he'd take us over somewhere to Denny's or whatever to get breakfast, and just talk us through our problems. And I really believe that although I enjoyed the music, was part of my growing up, I love music, but his investment in me, to this day, makes me remember his name. Makes me remember his name. I had a principal, he was a wonderful man. In ninth grade, I was not the best student. This principal, Mr. Devers, he was a guy that would kind of challenge me. One time he'd say, "You're not going to make anything out of your life." The other time he says, "You're going to do great things." In ninth grade, this principal suspended me 6 times for skipping school. Now, the logic there, kicking me out for a few days because I wasn't there, doesn't really add up too well. But he invested in me. And I remember when I finally got my act together and I began to get involved in community things as a pastor in my hometown. And I remember that this principal, who probably had mixed emotions about me, always thought I was a challenge. I got elected to the local school board, and they were looking for a superintendent, and guess who applied? He did. And I had the chance to be able to talk to him and be the vice president of the school board that hired him. I reminded him he kicked me out of school 6 times, so I got some makeup to do here. And I remember, but he invested, even when I was on the Board of Education, his time into my life. And about a year or so ago, I got word that his lovely wife had passed away. And I researched for about 2 hours to try to find his number, and sure enough, I did. He's living in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and I called him, and I said, "I don't know if you remember me or not." He says, "Oh, yes, I remember you." And I just said to him, "I want to thank you, though, because a lot of the things I've accomplished because of what you invested in me." And we can think about people like that in our lives. We can think about family who's invested in me. I thank God for my mom and dad, my brothers. We can thank God about many people who have given energy into our lives and cultivated us to be the people we are today. And that's so important. We also can talk about the fact, though, that relationship with God that's cultivated in our life. See, when I've gone through life and I've made decisions that weren't the best decisions, it was always a learning experience between me and God. But one thing I found out about God is that although I may screw up, although I may mess up, God never releases me from his cultivating hand. Sometimes a cultivating hand is an arm around the shoulder and loving you. Sometimes a cultivating hand is promoting you and giving you some success. Sometimes a cultivating hand is sometimes it is delivering you in a situation or allow you to go through things to learn the lesson from it. But no matter what I've ever gone through and you will go through, God is always cultivating a relationship with us, and therefore we should cultivate a relationship with him. So when you're going to grow upon that cornerstone, when you're going to have the plus, one of the first things you do is start having a life of cultivating. Cultivating. We're going to read a passage of Scripture, and I want to share some thoughts about this. In Matthew chapter number 13, and verse number 1 through 9, it says this. This same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came, the plant was scorched, and it withered because it had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what it was sown. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. And I've shared this passage of Scripture a number of times, obviously about sowing our seed and investing, but I want to put it this way. It's interesting. In the Scripture, I looked at other translations. I looked at the King James, I looked at the Message, which is a transliteration, the Living Bible is a transliteration, and I just wanted to see how this verse is read. In most of the other translation, it says, a man planted a seed. But in the translation we read here, the NIV, it says, a man planted his seed. So I checked in the Greek text to find out what was the right translation, and in fact, it was a man that planted his seed. And that got me to thinking about this, is that every one of us have some type of seed. Every one of us have something that we can take and we can plant and we can cultivate and it will grow. Now, one thing about this man planted a seed, it gives the examples of different soil and gives the ideas of how it was too rocky or it was too shallow or whatever. Then the one person that put it in the right soil got what produced more than he had expected. And that's a great principle in life, by the way. When you and I invest in things of God and others and in positive things, they will flourish and they will reward over and over and over again. I remember back in Michigan when I bought a house there and had a big backyard like I have here. I had energy back then to do a garden. I don't have the energy here to do a garden. But I did a garden. So I decided that I was going to have a strawberry patch. So I put the stuff in there for the strawberries. I did all the stuff it said. I nurtured the soil. I put all those things you need to do there, made sure it was water and stuff, and I waited. In the first year, nothing. And I felt like an utter failure. And someone told me that, listen, you did all the right things, but once you plant it, it's out of your hands. And what I learned about strawberries is that the second and third year, they mass-produced. And eventually, I could not get rid of strawberries. Because unlike most things you plant, it begins to spread under the ground and grow in places you did not expect. I had to wait some time for the results of my cultivation, but I did the right things. And when I read this passage here about this man, he had his seed. And his seed basically was something he owned himself. And he decided to take this into cultivate it into the ground. And the man who did it properly, The man who had the proper soil, nutrients, sun, water, had a harvest beyond what he could probably even take care of. And what I learned from that is this, is that metaphorically or spiritually, everybody here, God has given us something. God has given us something unique. I do believe that we all have gifts, talents, and abilities, and every one of us has that one, maybe two things that God wants to take, cultivate, and make it harvest greatly. It may be a talent. It may be a resource. It may be a skill. It may be whatever it is. But God wants us to cultivate those things in our lives. I'm a firm believer that if God has given you a gift and a talent and ability to do something, you ought to use it for God's glory to the best of your ability. And I appreciate all those people in our church that constantly use their talents and abilities to make our church and make our community better. So we need to be cultivators of things that God has given us. We ought to be honest of what we're good at. We ought to be honest of what our passions are. We ought to be honest and take those things and try to nurture them into a growing situation to be better used for God. I appreciate playing with the band. We joke a lot now that I'm in a band, you know. And it only took me 60 years to join a band. So, but, you know, I started taking up the guitar in December. And I was determined to learn some things. But I learned one thing as I transitioned this, is I learned that I became better at playing the guitar when I was in an environment to where I had to learn with others and improve with others and mimic others and learn from others. I believe the best thing for me to learn the guitar is playing in this band and practicing so often, getting the calluses, getting the notes wrong, getting frustrated, going back to my office trying to learn the new chord, the funny chord that nobody can play unless you've got 9-inch, you know, fingers where you can wrap around the whole guitar. When you got short, stubby fingers, it's hard. And when you're older and you got arthritis, it's even harder. But I learned this. By being in this environment, it was a cultivating environment. As believers in Christ, if you try to do Christianity alone, isolated, you try to be an island, you try to be someone who's just not going to be involved in a corporate organization, you will not see the growth that you possibly could have. That's why fellowship with God and fellowship with others is not just for the enjoyment and social interaction, but it is to stimulate us into growth. That's why church is so important. That's why children in the children's ministries are so important. Because when they're down there, they're with other of their peers, with wonderful teachers, and they are getting cultivated into a growth pattern for the Lord. But if you're a Christian and you don't invest yourself into a Christian community such as a church, then you're losing out on some of the best growth you would ever, ever see. And that's what cultivating is all about. We're going to talk about the two main areas that we need to cultivate and look at some scriptures. And then we're going to finalize by giving you a challenge here today. We are to cultivate a relationship with God. That's our first step. We are to cultivate a relationship with God. Now let's go back to the idea of cultivating. Cultivating, by the way, isn't just a one day a week. If you are planted a garden and you watered it one day a week and you let the sun hit it one day a week, it would not produce. Cultivating a relationship with God means investing in the things that get you to know Him. It's not mechanical. It's not regiment. It's not like read a chapter a day. Do not get upset. It's okay to do that, and I encourage reading your Bible daily. But it's about getting up every day and saying, what can I do to make this relationship go farther? It may be talking to God as you're driving to work. It may be having a verse for the day. It may be listening to Christian music on the Christian radio station. It may be listening to podcasts of other speakers and folks that encourage you. It may be having time with other folks in your church, going to coffee, having dinner, fellowshipping. But what is it that draws you in a close relationship with God? We have a responsibility to cultivate that each and every day. God isn't just about Sundays. In fact, if you change who you are on Sundays from the rest of the week, then you're probably doing it wrong. You ought to be who you are every day. Humble, broken sometimes, sinful sometimes, all that, but be who you are, but get up saying, I want to cultivate this stronger relationship with God. Look what it says here in a couple of passages. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 18, it says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory for both now and forever. But I like how it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Growing in the grace is that intimate relationship, and growing in the knowledge is the understanding of what he means to you. It's like any other relationship. There's a mental part of it, and there's an emotional part of it. If you're married, if you have children, you're dating, if you have that situation where you have a relationship, it's going to be part emotional and part intellectual. Growing to know what makes the other person happy, but having a heart that wants to make the other person happy. It says here in Colossians chapter number 1, verse 9 through 10, it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. This is the Apostle Paul writing to church people at Colossae. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Listen to this. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And when he says all this, he's saying this, we pray that you will grow, that you will understand more. Many pastors talk about the fact that we are to grow and grow and grow. Anything that is produced, if it does not grow, is usually considered something may be wrong. I mean, think about this. When you see a slab down the street and you've seen it there for 2 years but they haven't built anything, you say, they must have ran out of money. They must have had this. Something might have happened. And what happened? But you know it's not the normal process. When you give birth to children, and as the day and age is the day that they go to the doctor and they do a testing to find out their growth percentage or whatever. When I was having kids, they didn't do that. They gave you the baby at the hospital, said good luck. But now they have a title for everything and all this. But I always hear even my daughter talk about my grandson Zach, how he's on the low percentile for growth. He's a little guy. He's kind of like I was. And he has other difficulties. And so basically it's a thing to where when you get this, you begin to say, what can we do to change this? We want proper growth. We want intellectual growth. We want healthy growth. See, to me, it's that anything that's out there, we expect to grow. A church. When you plant a church in a new location, a healthy church planted correctly with the right people cultivating the work here will grow. And so it's all about normalcy of growth after a foundation. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that was a foundation. Now you need to cultivate and grow in grace and knowledge. You need to grow in intimacy and intellectually. You need to learn more about him, and when you do, that will draw you close intimately. And the more you get close intimacy, you're going to want to know him more and more, and all ties together. So we are to cultivate a relationship with God. The second thing is we're to cultivate a relationship with, and I put also in this, in others. I mentioned as we started this that there are people that invested in my life. My mother was a great one for that. She invested in my life. There are people that have invested in our lives. And that statement, no man is an island, really stands out because no one should ever want to be an island. You ought to be allowing people to cultivate you, and you ought to be cultivating somebody else. And the misnomer is that I have to be a mature Christian for many years to be a cultivator. No, you don't. You can cultivate from the point that you know Christ. You can begin bringing Christ into someone's life immediately. Cultivating a relationship. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 24 to 25. Now let us consider how we may spur, I like that word spur, one another onto towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12 to 14 says this, in fact, And he's kind of chastising the Christians now that for not investing and not growing and not doing those things. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by, listen to this now, constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Constant youth. Cultivating is constantly giving attention to it. When I had that garden back in Michigan, when I rototilled the soil, you know how beautiful that looks? There's nothing in there at all, no weeds, because you freshly, you know, rototilled. You wait a couple of days to plant. You put the plants in there, and you're pulling a few weeds out of here. If you don't go back day by day and week by week and weed it out, get rid of things that may choke off the growth, get rid of things that may inhibit the growth, if you don't guard against someone coming in and stealing the seed, if you don't do all those things, you're not going to have what you originally planned to have when you laid it down, the seed. You have to cultivate it. Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews, and I believe what he was saying is that to Christian people, you need to cultivate your relationship with God, but once you've got that going, you need to cultivate, invest in other people's lives. I like what it says, you need to spur one another on to good works and loving kindness. He says that you need to encourage one another. He says you need to invest in one another. So if you're going to grow, and over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to talk about different components, but I want to start here. If you're going to grow in relationship with God, you're going to have to make a conscious decision, begin cultivating it, which means get a Bible. Begin to explore the truths. It means ask questions. Sometimes people get afraid to read the Bible because they don't know what it's talking about. But that's what myself and Pastor Tony's and a number of others are here to help you. Our greatest joy is not answering the phone because, you know, somebody has a need in a sense of physical need. Our greatest joy, although we want to fulfill those, our greatest joy at times when somebody calls us, I got a Bible question. I got a theological question. We want to help you grow in that. You say, that we talk about prayer. You say, I hear all these nice prayers, people pray in church, and when they open the service and take the offering and close the service, they're very beautiful and poetical. But here's the thing, praying is nothing more than talking to God. You can do that while you're driving, don't close your eyes, but keep them open. But you can talk to God. We got this illusion that we can't talk to God unless we have a great oratory. Sometimes you can just think in your mind what you're burdened with and talk to God and ask God to give you peace. Cultivating that relationship with God, and then cultivating the relationship with other people, which means investing in their lives. I want to tell you something. You know, so many times in churches, we always look for children's teachers and nursery workers and those there, and sometimes it's hard because people say, well, you know, I don't know how to teach the kids. Let me tell you something. It's not about having a wealth of knowledge or the ability. In fact, we will give you the curriculum you need and the help and assistance to do it. It's about that boy or girl when they turn 18 and they're given some speech upon their graduation and they're thanking the people in their life and they thank that Sunday school teacher, that children ministry teacher who invested in their life. It's going to make a world of difference to you. And it's not because you knew everything about the Bible, it's because you said, I'll do it. Let them know someone cares. In fact, our youth today need to know that. Our teenagers, I praise God for Jackie for the ministry, but she could use some help to invest in the teens' lives. Because someday they're going to grow up, and I hope they have memories of those who invested in their lives from this church. It's a privilege to do that. It's a privilege. Cultivate your relationship with God and cultivate your relationship with and in others. Share your gifts, talents, and abilities. Share what God has done for you. And when you do that, you will grow more and you will be remembered one day for how you cultivated relationships. And that's important. Let me give you the walk away. Our potential is broadened by how we cultivate our relationship with God and how we cultivate our relationship with others, and that is so true. I am who I am today because of the people that encourage me, because of the people that chastise me, because of the people who doubted me, who made me want to push forward. To those people out there who maybe did not like me, and I wanted to prove them wrong, but I am what I am today because of the cultivating people around me. I am today what I am because of God's cultivating me throughout my entire life. You are here today, and you are who you are because of somebody, and right now you're thinking that one or two person's name that had an impact in your life. I hope you want to be in someone's mind for the same reason. So invest in God, invest in others, cultivate and grow. Step one on Cornerstone Plus, Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone, first step is cultivating, and we move on to the next step next week. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? This series is going to be, I hope, helpful. It's a series to help people grow. Each week is going to build on each other. So I encourage you, if you're not here on a Sunday, listen online to be able to get a full grasp of what we're talking about, because they all roll together. But we want to start with cultivating. Because to me, the first step in any relationship is to begin to work it. It's to begin to have a proactive, determined path you want to take. If you're going to grow in the Lord and you want to have that strong spiritual relationship and you want to be a spiritual, mature person, you have to start one day saying, from this day forward, I have the foundation of Jesus Christ because I'm saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. And now I'm going to begin to build on it. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to cultivate that relationship with God. I'm going to investigate the Bible a little more. I'm going to talk to Him a little more. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to put myself in environments to where I can learn more, whether it's through podcast, radio, or whatever. And then when you do that, say, but I can't be an island to myself. God would want me then to invest in someone else's life. So then take all that you're doing and all in your life and invest that into somebody else's life. Make a difference in somebody else's life. There are teenagers and kids out there that need investment from good people that want to share God's love with them. So the first step upon growth and Cornerstone Plus is cultivator. Be a cultivator. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just take this first lesson in this series, Lord, and use it to give us something to think about as we go through the week. And as we build upon it week by week, Lord, help us to understand that Jesus Christ is the foundation, but there's a lot more that comes after that. Help us to cultivate that relationship, make it stronger, and then cultivate relationships with other people. Bless our church, Lord. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.